welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today in our study, going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4, and we've been looking at verse number 1, which says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more." Now, as we've been looking at this passage, we've been seeing how the Apostle Paul has been speaking about the issues of the walk of the believer. So, looking at the aspect of the practical sanctification that occurs. So, after a person has put their trust in the gospel message for today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and how someone puts their trust in that and that alone is what gives someone salvation today, that as a person has received that justification, it occurs with that, and then there's the positional sanctification, which occurs, that we're set apart for the purpose of being the member of the body of Christ and the reconciliation of the heavenly places, that there's the practical sanctification that needs to occur. And that's what the Apostle Paul has been speaking about and talking about, this issue of pleasing God as they're doing these things. And it says, so ye would abound more and more. So there's a hope that the Apostle Paul is looking at here when he says, so ye would. So it's not an issue of that there's a guarantee that these things are going to happen. It's the thing of that this is what it says would happen, the things of that if a person is doing the things that are laid out, that this is what's going to happen. It's not a requirement for the believer to do these things. So it's not a requirement for a person to, you know, do the right thing. You know, this is not the law program where if a person was not doing the things that the law laid out, that they would lose their salvation. The issue is that the goal is that the believer would abound more and more. So when we look at this idea of abound, I want to look at the definition here of what this word means. We're going to be going to the Webster's 1828 dictionary here. There's two different definitions that are given related to abound. The first one says, to have or possess in great quantity, to be copiously supplied, followed by with or in, as to abound with provisions, to abound in good tidings. And the second one, to be in good plenty, to be very prevalent. And then the example that is given of the word being used in that manner is Romans chapter 5, verse 20. So the end result is that if the believer is doing these things according to the walk, that there's going to be some things that are going to come about in the life of the believer that are going to be in there in a, you know, a great plenty, a large amount. And that's why it says to abound more and more. Now, when we look at that idea, you know, there's an issue of the thing of when an individual starts to understand the things of right division, that the person a lot of times will start having this thing of, well, I don't need to do anything, and who cares how I'm living my life? And so they start to do all sorts of things that would really be contrary to what the doctrine would have them to do. But they think because God doesn't say that I have that it's a guarantee that I have to do these things, that, well, I can just live my life any old way. And not understanding of how God views things. For example, if we go over to Ephesians chapter number 2, and we see how Paul brings this up here, and you know, everyone likes to focus on verses 8 and 9, you know, related to salvation, because they like what these verses say when it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and it not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And saying, well, Paul speaking about the salvation that's been given here, and talk about the fact that it's by grace through faith. There's no works that are associated with it. And, you know, that's the only thing that I need to really be worrying about, rather than even looking at what verse number 10 actually says here, when it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So God, before the foundation of the world, as he was laying out the plan of the salvation of man, laying out the issues of the reconciliation of the heavenly places, laying out all the doctrine that we see that's given to the Apostle Paul, that he ordained that individuals should walk in the issue of those good works that are associated with the doctrine that's been given to us. And we can see how Paul gives all of that information in his epistles about how it is that a person is to be living the life that God intends. And, you know, the book of Ephesians is that perfect example of this, because in the first three chapters of the book, you have Paul laying out doctrinal information of things, talk about the things that a believer needs to understand, and then chapters 4, 5, and 6 lay out things of how now that a person understands these things, knows what it is, the doctrine that a person needs to understand, here's the impact it should have. Here's how a person should be living their life as a result of understanding this doctrine. And God wants us to be doing good works. He wants us to be doing the things that he identifies that are pleasing unto him. And God is pleased when an individual is following the doctrine. You know, he's not just pleased by the good works. He's pleased by what is the motivation behind doing those things. So if a person understands that the doctrine is there, and this is why I'm doing these things, then it is pleasing unto God. You know, for example, when you hear in the book of Ephesians, if we turn here, let's go into chapter number 4 for a moment. And we're just going to read verse number 28, which says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." So we have different things of what could motivate a person to not steal. You know, a person could be motivated to not steal by the fact that, you know, the laws of the land say that here's the punishment that would occur if you steal. You know, and if that's why somebody is not stealing, then, you know, they might be doing the right thing, but God's not pleased with that. If a person is not stealing because, you know, as they were growing up, this was the instructions that they were receiving from their family members, again, it's doing something that appears to be good, but God is not pleased with that. If a person's motivation for not stealing is the fact that in the book of Exodus, you know, when the Ten Commandments were being given, that one of them said, thou shalt not steal. You know, now, that's the word of God, but it's not the word of God rightly divided. It's not the doctrine that's given to us today in the books of Romans through Philemon. So even though it is, you know, in the Bible, it's still not doctrine that's applied to me. And God would not be pleased by an individual doing, you know, that work based on the fact that they were following Exodus chapter number 20. Now, if the believer understands that verse that we just read in Ephesians chapter number 4 and says that this is the reason why I am not stealing, then they're pleasing unto God. And the person is pleasing unto God because what is happening the moment that somebody is applying the doctrine properly, that we see what's actually happening. If we go over into Galatians chapter number 2, we're going to see how Paul is going to describe this whole issue of what is going on in the life of this individual. And we're going to read here in Galatians chapter number 2, verse number 20, which says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So when the doctrine is, you know, coming out of me, and I'm following the things of the doctrine, it's Christ living in me and through me, and that's why it is pleasing unto God. And it's because it's the Lord Jesus Christ, his righteousness coming out through me. And it's always going to be those things that are going to be pleasing unto God. And that's why it's we know and understand that it's Christ in us and through us. You know, the viewpoint that man has related to the things of the Lord Jesus Christ is the things of, you'll see the bumper stickers that say things of like, you know, God is my co-pilot. You know, so this thing of that, you know, God sitting next to me as I'm making these decisions, as I'm doing these things. Well, if it's God is my co-pilot, that means that I'm the pilot. I'm the one who's doing the things. And if it's me doing the things and not Christ living through me, you know, it's not going to be doing the things that people actually think that are going to be accomplished by the doctrine. And that's what the Apostle Paul really is trying to make clear about the things of when he talks about the fact that we're to be pleasing unto God, that we're pleasing by allowing that doctrine to be demonstrated through us. We see how if we go back over into the book of Ephesians, and let's go back to chapter number 3. And we're going to see how Paul's going to describe something here related to the angelic realm looking at the members of the body of Christ. And here in Ephesians chapter number 3, we're going to start here at verse number 8, and we're going to read down through verse number 11. Verse 8 says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So as Paul is describing the responsibility that he sees in his life and how the responsibility that he has that, you know, really passes from him unto all other members of the body of Christ is the fact that we are to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. We are to be looking for individuals to receive salvation and also to come unto the knowledge of the truth. The things of what the will of God actually is that's laid out in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. But we see how as we are functioning in that manner, that the end result of these things is that the angelic realm is gaining an understanding of, as it says here, let's read verses 10 and 11 again, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That through us, the angelic realm is gaining the understanding of the purpose of God, the things related to the reconciliation of the heavenly places, the things related to how this doctrine is being applied to individuals today. And they're seeing the good things, they're seeing the bad things. They're seeing, you know, all of the mistakes that individuals make, and as they see those mistakes, they're seeing the long suffering of God. They're seeing the doctrine playing out. They're seeing everything that is going on. So when we talk about the things of abounding more and more, the issue is that, you know, the angelic realm is gaining that understanding. There's a responsibility that we have towards all of mankind. Let's turn over into the book of Philippians. And we're going to see how Paul's going to describe this here in Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 15, when it says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. The doctrine should be shining out as a light unto this world. Individuals in the world today should be able to see that there is a difference in us compared to the rest of the world, and should be drawn to that light to be able to say that this is what they want in their life. The problem that happens so often is that individuals really struggle to be able to tell the difference between saved individuals and everyone else in the world, because individuals take their liberty to things of, well, I don't have to do certain things, and it's okay if I function in this manner because I have my salvation. That individuals look at those who identify themselves as being, and I'm going to use the term loosely, as being a Christian, and really the world, you know, doesn't always look for the good in that. The world is waiting for individuals who identify in that manner to mess up so that way they can say, see, I knew that there was nothing good about that individual. There's, you know, there's no benefit to going and doing those. There's no benefit to believing that information. And Paul's saying that we should be demonstrating in this way. We should be functioning in a manner to where we would have a reward waiting for us. Now let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And we're just going to look here at a passage that describes some things related to those rewards that would be waiting for the members of the body of Christ when we're caught up to meet him in the air. And we're here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Let's start here at verse number 10. We're going to read down through verse number 15. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, is a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. We see how Paul, as he's describing this, the first thing I want to focus on is the fact that Paul identifies the fact that there is a guarantee of the salvation of any individual that has put their trust in the gospel message for today. That's why he starts talking about the fact that an individual is saved, yet so as by fire. They're not losing their salvation. It's not the individual themselves that is being judged here. He says multiple times in this passage that what is being judged is the works of the individual. So what people are doing related to the doctrine that has been committed unto them, and God is judging, did people do the right things or did they not do the right things? And that's where, you know, if the right things were done, the gold, silver, and precious stones are built up. The fire comes, tries those things. The gold, silver, and precious stones remain. And a person receives a reward based on what has remained. When a person has not done those things, instead of building the gold, silver, and precious stones, they've built wood, hay, and stubble. The fire comes and tries those things, and wood, hay, and stubble burn away. That there is nothing then at that point that could be rewarded if a person hasn't built good gold, silver, and precious stones. If all that was there was just things of the wood, hay, and stubble, the person has, you know, lost their reward, but they still have their salvation. And what Paul's hope is that the person will build all of those things to receive that reward, so that way they could have that abounding more and more, as the Apostle Paul has made a reference to in our passage. Now, next week, we actually will finally start verse number 2 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Now as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of some of our past Sunday messages. We have information on how to watch our Sunday service live as it's broadcast on Facebook. Information on how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments, about anything in our broadcast, anything you read on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.